Tarea 2.
Hello and welcome to This Week I Learned, your audio guide to the most surprising discoveries and fascinating studies of the week. I'm your host, Lauren Hansen. This week, I learned that crows make up after fights. Crows do not have the fuzziest of reputations. Sure, they're highly intelligent and very loyal creatures, but they're also loud, rambunctious, and have the unfortunate habit of being associated with death, both because of their black feathers and because they are scavengers who will gamefully pick over a carcass. But it turns out a murder of crows has a softer side. So crows are known to form long-lasting social relationships with other crows. And a new study out of Germany wanted to get to the bottom of how these new relationships form. So researchers started out with crows that were total strangers to each other. In the study, the crows were first kept in a cage. When researchers first put food into the cage, they noticed the birds fought more when the food was scarce than when there was plenty of it, which totally makes sense. What was interesting was what happened after these squabbles. If the fight was only mildly aggressive, the agitator would, when the food was gone, seek out its victim. And it would sit close by the other bird, touching and even preening the bird's feathers. Now, when the fights were more violent, well, the aggressor stayed away. But this time, it was the victim that sought comfort in another. The hurt bird would find another bird that wasn't involved in the fight. It would sit close to it and seek some consolation. This kind of reconciliation has rarely been observed in crows before. In fact, among animals, it has predominantly been studied in primates. But this study shows that the scavengers, like humans, are complicated creatures. They have tempers and are prone to fighting, but they're also highly social animals that depend on the herd for survival. So in this way, conflicts can be really costly. But a little bit of love and affection between the birds can help mend those wounds. This week I learned that the Vatican paints its walls with milk. It's a technique that dates back to cave drawings. Tens of thousands of years ago, some of Earth's oldest surfaces were decorated with a simple concoction of milk, lime, and earth pigments. Even the belongings of King Tutankhamun were found to be painted with milk paint. And even though some oil-based paints emerged as early as the 1400s, Milk paint was still the preferred paint solution up through the Civil War, both because of the accessibility of milk, pretty much everyone had a goat or a cow, and because of its velvety, rich colors. It wasn't until 1868 when the first patent for that classic metal paint can with a tightly fitted top came in that the paint industry evolved into one for the masses. Now, mass-produced paint did not lend itself to milk since, like the kind you drink, milk paint can spoil. The Vatican began using milk paint in 1484 when the Vatican's Belvedere Palace, which is now a museum that houses precious artworks, was built. Back then, Vatican workers used essentially the same recipe as the cavemen did, mixing the milk byproduct with slaked lime and earth pigments if they're using any. The solution was then hand-patted onto the walls. Now, milk paint also fits in nicely with the Pope's mission of sustainability. Milk paint is a non-invasive method both for the environment and for people. And you might be tickled to know the milk the Vatican sources is from its own cows. Because, of course, the Vatican has its own cows for its organic milk paint. Hello and welcome to This Week I Learned, your audio guide to the most surprising discoveries and fascinating studies of the week. I'm your host, Lauren Hansen. This week, I learned that crows make up after fights. Crows do not have the fuzziest of reputations. Sure, they're highly intelligent and very loyal creatures, but they're also loud, rambunctious, and have the unfortunate habit of being associated with death, both because of their black feathers and because they are scavengers who will gamefully pick over a carcass. But it turns out a murder of crows has a softer side. So crows are known to form long-lasting social relationships with other crows. And a new study out of Germany wanted to get to the bottom of how these new relationships form. So researchers started out with crows that were total strangers to each other. In the study, the crows were first kept in a cage. When researchers first put food into the cage, they noticed the birds fought more when the food was scarce than when there was plenty of it, which totally makes sense. What was interesting was what happened after these squabbles. If the fight was only mildly aggressive, the agitator would, when the food was gone, seek out its victim. And it would sit close by the other bird, touching and even preening the bird's feathers. Now, when the fights were more violent, well, the aggressor stayed away. But this time, it was the victim that sought comfort in another. The hurt bird would find another bird that wasn't involved in the fight. It would sit close to it and seek some consolation. This kind of reconciliation has rarely been observed in crows before. In fact, among animals, it has predominantly been studied in primates. But this study shows that the scavengers, like humans, are complicated creatures. They have tempers and are prone to fighting, but they're also highly social animals that depend on the herd for survival. So in this way, conflicts can be really costly. But a little bit of love and affection between the birds can help mend those wounds. This week I learned that the Vatican paints its walls with milk. It's a technique that dates back to cave drawings. Tens of thousands of years ago, some of Earth's oldest surfaces were decorated with a simple concoction of milk, lime, and earth pigments. Even the belongings of King Tutankhamun were found to be painted with milk paint. And even though some oil-based paints emerged as early as the 1400s, milk paint was still the preferred paint solution up through the Civil War, both because of the accessibility of milk, pretty much everyone had a goat or a cow, and because of its velvety, rich colors. It wasn't until 1868 when the first patent for that classic metal paint can with a tightly fitted top came in that the paint industry evolved into one for the masses. Now, mass-produced paint did not lend itself to milk, since, like the kind you drink, milk paint can spoil. The Vatican began using milk paint in 1484 when the Vatican's Belvedere Palace, which is now a museum that houses precious artworks, was built. Back then, Vatican workers used essentially the same recipe as the cavemen did, mixing the milk byproduct with slaked lime and earth pigments if they're using any. The solution was then hand-patted onto the walls. Now, milk paint also fits in nicely with the Pope's mission of sustainability. Milk paint is a non-invasive method both for the environment and for people. And you might be tickled to know the milk the Vatican sources is from its own cows. Because, of course, the Vatican has its own cows for its organic milk paint.